Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I will read text 33 by myself, and then we can all repeat text 34 together. Vritta manoratastasya durasvarga patatyadha pratisrutasya dhanena yoritanam vipalambhate. Translation: far from being elevated to the heavenly planets or fulfilling one's desire, one who does not properly give a beggar what he has promised, falls down to a hellish condition of life. Text 34. Vipralabdho dadamiti Twayaham chadyamanina Tadvyalika palambungshva Nirayam katachit samaha Vipralabdho dadamiti Twayaham chadyamanina Tadvyalika palambungshva Nirayam katachit samaha Vipralabdho dadamiti Twayaham chadyamanina Tadvyalika palambungshva Nirayam katachit samaha. Vipralabdho dadamiti Vaishnavis, Vipralabdha Dadamiti, Nirayam Katachit Samaha. Labdha dadamiti Vipralabdha. Now I am cheated. Dadami, I promise I shall give you. Iti, thus, Twaya, by you, Aham, I am. Cha also. Adhyamanina. By being very proud of your opulence. Tat, therefore. Vyalika palam. As a result of cheating. Bhunkshva, you enjoy. Nirayam, in hellish life. Katachit, a few. Samaha, years. Translation. Being falsely proud of your possessions, you promised to give me land, but you could not fulfill your promise. Therefore, because your promise was false, you must live for a few years in hellish life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The false prestige of thinking, I am very rich, and I possess such vast property, is another side of material life. Everything belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and no one else possesses anything. This is the real fact. Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Bali Maharaj was undoubtedly the most exalted devotee, whereas previously he had maintained a misunderstanding due to false prestige. By the supreme will of the Lord, he now had to go to the hellish planets, but because he went there by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he lived there more opulently than one could expect to live in the planets of heaven. A devotee always lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaging in his service, and therefore he is always transcendental to hellish or heavenly residences. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 21st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bali Maharaj Arrested by the Lord. Om Ajnanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Thank you for allowing me to serve you this morning. I sincerely pray to the senior Vaishnavas that I can speak appropriately in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, as which has been handed down to us by Srila Prabhupada and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So we're continuing with the divine Leela of Bali Maharaj being arrested by the Lord. And here it's very interesting because these verses that Vamanadeva is speaking is really glorifying Bali Maharaj, because Bali Maharaj, he surrendered, even going against the orders of his guru. Vamanadeva came to beg 3 steps of land, and Shukracharya was trying to get him to deny the request, but Bali Maharaj surrendered to the Lord, saying, 3 steps of land, I'll give you anything that you want. Take everything. I can give you so much more. So we've read with the first step, Vamanadeva cleared all of Bhurloka, all the middle planetary systems. And with the second step, he covered all of the upper planetary systems. And so these verses, Vamanadeva is saying that where should I put my third step? I've covered the whole universe. Now where should I put my third step? You are promising me a third step, but you're actually being quite false. You're unable to give a beggar what he properly wants. And therefore, you're going to have to suffer in hell for this. You're going to have to live for a few years in hellish life. But we see that this is very dynamic, the relationship between Bhagavan and the Bhakta. Bhakti is very dynamic. It's not static. Dynamic means there's a lot of energy going. Static means there's no energy, but Bhakti is very dynamic. Bali Maharaj surrendered. But now, Vamanadeva wants further surrender, and we know that in the next chapter, Bali Maharaj will offer his head. Please put your third step in my head. Meaning, Bali Maharaj is the example of Atma Nivedanam. There's a nice verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, I believe it's 261 or 265, that different devotees are given as examples for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandiyanam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam, that Parikshit Maharaj, he obtained perfection by hearing. Shukadev Goswami attained perfection by speaking. Prahlad Maharaj, he attained perfection by remembering the Lord. Prithu Maharaj achieved perfection by worshipping the deity. Akrura, he attained perfection by offering prayers to the Lord. And Hanuman, he obtained perfection by serving the Lord as Dasyam, servant. And Arjuna obtained perfection by being the friend of the Lord. And Bali Maharaj is given as the example of Atma Nivedanam, giving everything to the Lord. And so surrender, Sharanagati, is dynamic, but it's a moment-to-moment process. Just like Bali Maharaj, he surrendered at the beginning. But now he has to surrender again and again. He has to keep surrendering. And this is an example for us. We come to Krishna consciousness, we become surrendered, but yet we understand that due to the very nature of our conditioning, our mind gets dragged away so many times. So many oppositions and obstacles come into our lives. And so surrender, Sharanagati, is a moment-to-moment process. It's very deep. We look at Bali Maharaj. Of course, he goes, at the end, he goes to Sutala and he enjoys even higher enjoyment than that which is in the higher planetary systems with the Lord. And we see that the Lord isn't just, you know, cursing and demanding of Bali Maharaj, but he's actually glorifying Bali Maharaj because he's an exalted devotee. But in the beginning, he did have this false prestige of thinking that I am very rich and I possess such vast property. The jiva, jivera srupahoi krishna nityadas, all the jivas, all the living entities are eternal servants of Krishna. But due to being covered by the illusory potency of the Lord, we forget about this. And we're covered by ahankara, this false ego, that I am this body and everything that's connected to this body is mine. And so we misunderstand and we forget that aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartite, all material worlds and all spiritual worlds are emanating from Krishna. And Krishna is bhoktaram yagatapasam sarva loka maheshvaram. He's the beneficiary of all activities. He's the controller of all the worlds. So all activities, human activities, are meant to please Krishna. They should all be offered to Krishna. But we forget about this. And we think that I possess this or I possess that because I'm this material body. And we forget Ishavasam Idam Sarvam Yat Kincha Jagatyam Jagat. Krishna possesses everything. And no one else possesses anything. Srila Prabhupada said, this is the real fact. So everything is meant to be used in Krishna's service. But the living entity deluded by Maya forgets about this. And so we see that in this world, people are crying and dying for material possessions, struggling so much to get more and more. And then even on a subtle level, they're going after puja and pratishta. They want to be worshipped in this world. They want to have adoration in this world. So we see that there's gross material desires and there's subtle material desires. And people in this world are crying and dying for this. But we have the Vaishnavs, the real Vaishnavs, who are showing that they're dying and crying to be the servant of the servant of the servant. The Vaishnavs are dying and crying so that they can be the dust at the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. And this is why it's so important for us to really meditate and hear about the Vaishnavacharyas on their appearance and disappearance days. So today is the Avir Bhav Mahotsava, the great festival, appearance festival of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. And it's really important for us to understand our disciplic succession and to hear about them, because they'll show us by their example of how to surrender, of how to overcome obstacles. And of course, we can never imitate them. Imitation is never a good thing, but we want to emulate their teachings. We want to emulate their activities in our lives. And so we know from the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. And so he stopped at a place called Ramakeli to see Rupa and Sanatan. It was off the path. And from there he went to a place called Kanai Natashala. And at Kanai Natashala, a little ways from there, there's a river named Padmavati, the Padma River. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, they went to go and bathe in that river. And when they went to bathe in the river, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started shouting out, Narottam, 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 over and over again in ecstasy. Tears were flowing from his eyes as he was calling out for Narottam. And all the devotees looked around at each other and said, who's this great personality named Narottam? You know, when will this person come into our association? And so Lord Nityananda, he went to speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, O Lord Nityananda, I have gathered your divine ecstasy, your crying, your ecstasy. I have collected it and I have placed it in this river Padmavati. And he called forth the presiding deity of that river, Padmavati. And Padmavati Devi came at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there will come a time when a boy named Narottam will enter your waters, and I want you to give the love of Lord Nityananda to this boy. And she said, but how will I know that this is the boy that I'm supposed to give it to? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when he touches your waters, you'll overflow, and you'll be able to understand that he is this boy. And so Narottam Das Thakur, he was born in 1531, and his father was a king, Krishna Nanda Dutt. And his mother, Narayani, they were Kayasta by birth, but they were the local king and queen. So he grew up in a very, very opulent setting. And even at his birth, it was shown how he was such a great personality, a Mahapurush by birth. There's a certain time when the child becomes a little older, and the child will take his first grains, the grain ceremony. And so they got everybody together. They had this big festival for the little boy, and they went to go put the grains in the boy's mouth. And the boy rejected the grains. He wouldn't eat it at all. He would just close his mouth and turn the other way. And the astrologer came and he said, I know why this boy will not take these grains. He will only take that which is offered to Krishna. Go offer the grains first, come back, and then give the grains to the boy. So they offered the grains to Krishna, and Narottam, he took the grains. So even at birth, he was shown to be such a great personality. And there was a Brahmin who would come to Krishna Nanda's palace every day, And he would talk about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda. He would talk about Rupa and Sanatan. He would talk about all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Narottam Das Thakur, even though he was a prince, he was surrounded by wealth, he never had this false prestige of, I am very rich, or I possess such vast property. No, he wanted only to hear about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, and their associates. That's all he wanted to do. We see this in the great lives of the devotees, that their real wealth is hearing and chanting about the Lord and the Lord's devotees. So he became more and more detached from his material life. And we see this in the great Vaishnavacharyas. I was talking earlier about how people are crying and dying for material possessions. And then we see in the lives of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, how they're crying and dying to get away from that and surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And so when he was about 12 years old, he wanted so much to leave home and go be with Lord Chaitanya, to be with Rupa and Sanatan. And so at that night, he was given a dream by Nityananda Prabhu to leave home and go to the Padmavati River. And so his father and uncle, they left to do some errands, and on a pretext, he got away from his mother, and he just started running. As fast as he could, he started running. And he ran nonstop for 15 days. And then after the 15 days, he looked back to see if anybody was following him, and then he continued through the paths of the jungles, just so that he could get away and go be with Rupa and Sanatan in Vrindavan. So he made his way to Vrindavan, and after these 15 days, he was so exhausted. He was a prince. He was, you know, living in such a rich lifestyle. And for about 2 weeks, he didn't eat or drink anything. He was just running and walking. And so he became exhausted, and all of a sudden this beautiful golden Brahmin came out of nowhere with some milk. And he personally fed Narottam Das Thakur this milk. And then Narottam Das Thakur, he slept, and Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they came to him. And just by having their darshan, he was completely rejuvenated. And so he continued to Vrindavan. And when he got to Vrindavan, he found out that Rupa and Sanatan and some of the other great Vaishnavas had left the earthly plane, had gone back to Radha and Krishna. And so he fell into such despair. But he took shelter of Srila Jiva Goswami, and he was even instructed to take shelter of Lokanath Das Goswami. Srila Lokanath Das Goswami was the first devotee that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent to Vrindavan. Lokanath Goswami spent much of his time with Bhugarbha Swami, and they were trying to renovate and excavate the holy places of Vrindavan. And so he was instructed to surrender unto the lotus feet of Lokanath Goswami, and he felt himself that this is my guru. Lokanath Goswami is my guru. I need to surrender unto him. But Lokanath Goswami, under the intense separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that I will not initiate anybody. I'm going to do my devotional service, but I won't initiate anybody. So Narottam Das Thakur, he pleaded and begged, and still Lokanath Das Goswami, he wouldn't accept any disciples. So Narottam Das Thakur had a plan. He knew that every day Lokanath Goswami, he would come out of the Yamuna, he would go on the bank of the Yamuna, and he would take care of his body there, and then he would bathe in the Yamuna, and he would leave. And so Narottam Das Thakur, he went to that place secretly at night, in the middle of the night, and he cleaned the area where Lokanath Das Goswami would take care of his body. He would sift the sand. He had his own broom that he would take, and he would make it so nice and beautiful for Lokanath Das Goswami. So after some time, Lokanath Das Goswami, he started thinking, why is it that the place that I usually go, it's so clean? You know, who is doing this? And so he secretly at night, he went behind a tree and some bushes, and he started chanting his japa, and he saw Narottam in the middle of the night. Narottam Das Thakur came and started cleaning his area. And Lokanath Das Goswami, he ran out and he said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You're the son of a king. You're a prince. How can you do this service? This is so below you. This is not good." And Narottam Das Thakur grabbed hold of Lokanath Das Goswami's feet and just started crying and begging, "Please accept me as your disciple." And so Lokanath Das Goswami accepted Narottam Das Thakur as his disciple, and they had a very intimate relationship. And so later on we see that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had this same determination to obtain initiation from Gaur Kishor Das Babaji. And Narottam Das Thakur, he wrote two books, Sri Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana, which are very, very beautiful songs, of which Srila Gaur Kishor Das Babaji and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur studied throughout their lifetimes. In fact, Gaur Kishor Das Babaji he carried these two books wherever he went and read them daily, of Narottam Das Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada himself said that even though these two books are written in simple Bengali, they're non-different than the Vedas. And we see that even in our morning program, Prabhupada's Guru Puruja, we sing the Guru Vandana song that Srila Narottam Das Thakur has composed. And on the disappearance days, we sing the separation song Narottam Das Thakur has written. And also Narottam Das Thakur, he was one of the first book distributors, along with Shamananda Pandit and Srinivasacharya. As we know, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Pandit, they studied under Srila Jiva Goswami, the books of the six Goswamis. And after some time, it was time to spread these books throughout all of Bengal. And so Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Pandit, they took this huge cart and filled up the cart with the books, the granthas of the six Goswamis and the divine literatures of the other Vaishnavacharyas. But under the Lord's Yogamaya potency, these books were stolen by a king. And Srinivasacharya went and retrieved the books. And Narottam Das Thakur, at this time, he went to Keturi Gram, his home village. And there they had what is considered the first Gaur Purnim festival at Keturi Gram, the Keturi festival. That's a very long discussion. But another significant pastime of Narottam Das Thakur is when he was living in Vrindavan. It's stated in Gaur Gonadesh Dipika that Narottam Das Thakur, he is Champak Manjari. And so he's eternally serving Shishi Radha and Krishna in his divine Leela. And he's serving under Rupa Manjari, under Rupa Goswami. And so when he was doing his devotional service, his internal meditation one day, he would boil the milk in his eternal svarup, his eternal Leela, and the milk was about to boil over. And so in his meditation, he went to grab the pot off of the stove, and he grabbed it with his bare hands. And when he grabbed it with his hands in his meditation, he woke up and he saw that his hands were all burnt. His Sadaka Deha, hands were all burnt. And it's very significant to note that rather than showing off, "Oh, look at my hands are burned from my internal service," you know, showing off his ecstasy, he wanted to hide it, and so he bound up his hands. And he didn't want anybody to know about his internal service. And we see that this is also the great Vaishnavacharyas. They try to keep their innermost ecstasies and their internal service very, very secret. It's not an open thing. It's not a cheap thing like the Sahajiyas make it out to be. And so we know Narottam Das Thakur, he also converted many Brahmins into Vaishnavas. And because of this, there was a great outcry, and a lot of caste-conscious people were trying to attack and even ridicule Narottam Das Thakur. But because of Ganga Narayan, Chakravarti, and the great disciples of Narottam Das Thakur, they showed that Vaishnava philosophy is beyond caste consciousness. It's beyond material consciousness. And so we should take shelter of Srila Narottam Das Thakur on this day. And in the Vaishnava songbook, we have so many beautiful prayers by Narottam Das Thakur and purports by Srila Prabhupada that we can go through today. And one time, Srila Prabhupada asked Yamuna Devi, he asked her, "What is your favorite bhajan?" And she replied, I think it was Jai Radha Madhava. And she asked Srila Prabhupada, "What is your favorite bhajan? And Srila Prabhupada said, "Hari Hari Vipale Janama Gunainu." So Srila Prabhupada, he said that his favorite bhajan was the Ishta Deva Vigyapti. So I just want to read that real quick before I end. So Narottam Das Thakur prays, "O Lord Hari, I have wasted my life. Although I've taken this rare human birth, I have not served Radha and Krishna, and thus I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love in Goloka Vrindavan has descended as the congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night, my heart burns in the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not accepted the means for relieving it. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Raj, became the son of Sachi, and Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jagai and Madai, are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddish lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you?" Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki. Are there any questions or comments? Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Thank you.